Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Gina Bianca podcast, where we talk about life, business, entrepreneurship, the beauty industry, and beyond. My name is Gina Bianca, life and business coach, salon owner, educator, mastermind mentor, and your host of the Gina Bianca podcast. Discover the essence of Italian craftsmanship and beauty with Alpha Parf Milano Professional. From revitalizing hair care and treatments to vibrant color collections, experience the luxury of the Italian house of beauty. Celebrating a global commitment to elevate the beauty craft through advanced formulation, technology, practical salon solutions, and consistently superior results, one bottle at a time. Alpha Parf Milano Professional. Where glamour meets sophistication and hair care perfection. Product Club is a premium hair color tools and accessories brand that provides high quality tools, apparel, back bar essentials, and valuable hair color education. They offer the most innovative products to help professional hair colorists elevate their craft and excel in their work behind the chair. This month, Product Club is offering a great deal on their number one best-selling foil. The silver pop-up foil is absolutely a hair colorist's favorite foil. Why? Because it's versatile and perfect for various hair color processes. These pre-folded 5x11-inch foils are strong and sturdy and have a lightly embossed texture that prevents slipping and bleeding. They are packaged in a convenient pop-up dispenser box that saves so much time when you're in the middle of a heavy foiling job. These sturdy foils also won't stick or tear, making your job easier. The silver pop-up foil is on sale for only $10.38 a box. Stock up now at productclub.com. This offer is good through April 30th, 2024. What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Gina Bianca podcast. We are still deep in Salon Ownership Unfiltered. Today, I have another amazing guest, Jamie Michaels, the owner of Pure Metal Salon right outside of Atlanta. This is the first time me and Jamie have gotten to talk. I have a lot of like long-term friends on this episode and then people who I've just met. So I'm really excited to get to know you, Jamie. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for your time and for doing this. I really appreciate it.
I am so happy I'm here. I wouldn't have missed it.
Awesome. I love it. Okay. So let's start from the beginning of your salon ownership journey. Tell us a little bit about you, like your salon, where you're from, all that stuff.
Yeah. So I am originally was born and raised in Vermont, actually. And I got married really young and moved to Italy with my husband for 3 years. And then moved back to Georgia. My husband's in the army. So we moved back to the States around 2015. And that is when my journey in the hair industry started. So I started in a salon and slowly kind of worked my way up. I did an apprenticeship and worked in salons. And I just felt that I just needed something different, and I really wanted to create like a really strong culture and a balance for hairdressers so we're not overworked, because I came from a salon that we were triple double booking and I was exhausted and I just couldn't do it anymore. So I decided to open a salon. I was in a suite for a year and I saved up. And then I found a space that was already a salon, but it was from like the 1980s and needed a major facelift. So I started there and then I expanded within a year of opening. So I went from a 2,200 square foot space to a 3,900 square foot space, which was really fucking scary. And so that's my like kind of story, really short and sweet.
Awesome. So you started in the industry in 2015, and when did you open?
I opened 2 years ago, so it was right towards the end of COVID. I opened my salon. Yeah.
Awesome. Amazing. And what's your business model? Like commission, booth rent, hybrid?
Sorry. So we are a commission salon, employee based. I started with a hybrid model and slowly realized that that just wasn't for me. And I was really running my business like an employee based salon, but I wanted to grow people. And I realized that rental really is like your landlord kind of thing. So we switched everyone to commission.
Love that. And your renter stayed?
I had one renter stay at that time.
Nice. And how many chairs do you have in there?
So we have 9, 10, 12 stations.
Nice. And it's 3,900 square feet right outside of Georgia. Love that. Okay. So like, what's the vibe like in your salon? You had said that you worked in a salon where you guys were overworked, double book, triple book. I personally love double and triple booking, but it is not for everybody. Like it's not for everybody. So that wasn't for you. So you decided to build a place where the vibe was a little bit different. So talk a little bit more about like the vibe
Yeah.
there.
So I suffer with like really bad anxiety, and I feel like there's like a lot of people in our industry that either have like anxiety or depression or mental health issues. We don't really talk about it, but I feel like you either love double booking or triple booking or you hate it. And I was the one who hated it. And I felt like I was dying on the inside. And so at my salon, we don't double book. We're a one-on-one only salon. And I've really kind of fostered that environment. I feel like we have done a good job on marketing, on like reaching to those stylists that don't want to double book. And then also our clientele loves it as well. So
That's awesome. It's like you're finding out who exactly you're for. So I love that.
yes.
And are you still behind the chair working?
Yeah, so I'm working 2 days a week now. That's been a journey on in itself, because I realized that being a salon owner, you, especially a commission based, that you really can't work 5 or 6 days a week and work on the business. And then really growing your team takes a lot of fucking work. So I'm 2 days a week now, and I'm struggling with that because, like you have to kind of put your team first and push yourself kind of in your career to the side to really develop and grow your team.
Yeah, that was really hard for me too. When
Ugh.
I owned an employee-based salon for 5 years, and when I kind of like stepped back from doing hair, I had a really hard time being on the floor. Like I would like hide in my office and do like spreadsheets and paperwork and stuff like that. I had a really hard time being on the floor. It is a real struggle, like especially like a lot of salon owners like us. Like I'm sure you're extremely busy behind the chair. You have clients who love you. Like you have a successful career behind the chair, and then that kind of like takes a side thing, like you
Oh yeah.
said, to really grow these people and take care of people.
Oh my gosh, it really does. Yeah.
So your daily role, you're doing hair 2 days a week, and what else are you doing as the owner in the building?
So I am a one woman show right now. I have a front desk that does help me with some things, but she doesn't really want the managing part of it. So I'm doing all of it right now, by myself, which is like, holy shit, it's a lot of work. But so I'm managing my team. So we have I meet with them monthly, and then we go over numbers. We have systems that we use to help track their growth, their numbers. So we have monthly meetings to help them stay on track with that. And then all the ordering I do.
Oh my God, I would die if I had to do ordering.
I don't like it.
I would have a
I'm
meltdown.
like, No, I'm getting to the point where I'm like, okay, I need fucking help.
Yeah.
I can't sustain this anymore.
I would die. We would have nothing. We would have nothing in there if I had to do the ordering or no money because I would just order.
Or, yeah, I mean, that happens too. Like, there's so much that goes into being a salon owner. I'm a one-woman show. I do it all. And yeah, it's definitely like being a salon owner is so different from being a stylist behind the chair. And I probably should have like prefaced by saying that too, but I was that stylist that was, you know, I always thought that it looked easier. I could do it better. You should do this. Like, why isn't there like 9NG? Why are we out of it? And it's like now the shoe's on the other foot. And I'm like, wow, karma's a bitch.
It's some salon owners make it look easy.
it's not. They're lying.
I too was the one that was just like, I could do this, I could do this. And I ended up figuring it out and everything, but it's a lot. And I love that you said it's different than being a hairstylist behind the chair because one of my favorite people, Tony Robbins, he's like one of my
Oh,
mentors.
yeah,
I
I
love
love
Tony
him.
Robbins, but he talks about how there's three people in every business. There's the artist, the manager, and the entrepreneur. And businesses do the best when there's one person in each role. And it's like hard when you're spread so thin. Like I'm in every role all the time. And when we do hair behind the chair, we're the artist, we're the skilled service provider, we're like the talent, right? And then there's the manager leader who's making sure the artist can thrive. So it's like when you're doing everything, it's so hard.
It's so hard. It's so hard. Also, one of the reasons why I think that you doing this like podcast series is like so incredible and so important for everybody to listen to because like it's so hard. It's hard, like more blood, sweat, and tears than like smiles and, you know, positive attitudes and like, woo, you know. So
Yeah, it's hard to be that like chipper person at the head of
cheerleader,
the
yeah. No, I'm like, I have to every morning. I'm like, get yourself together, bitch. Like, you got this. Like, put that smile on your face. And then the other side's like, oh, fucking hate this.
Yeah, it's hard. I totally get it. So, okay, daily role, you're doing hair 2 days a week, and then you're one woman show. You're doing the marketing, the restocking, the managing the team, the scheduling, dealing with difficult clients, dealing with complaints, anything like that is all coming straight to you.
Yeah, my front desk handles like the client part, which I'm so thankful for. But other than that, it's on me. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So, do you let your team make their own schedules? I know that like freedom and flexibility is something that a lot of stylists really, really want. And in an employee-based salon, how are you doing anything to like foster that in your environment?
Yeah. Yes, I let me just kind of back up a little bit. So when I first opened my salon, we were 1099 and it was for like, I guess call, you know, you would call it employee base. And then even my renters were 1099. And I just went with that structure because the salons in our area are structured like that. So, and I feel like this is where most salon owners kind of go wrong is they'll just continue doing what the salon that they moved from are doing, which is
So
horrible.
common.
Don't do that. But anyway, so I kind of just adopted that same structure. And then I hired a coach and a mentor, and they were like, that's illegal. You can't do that. And I was like, okay, like, didn't know that. Let's
Yeah,
switch up.
you could get sued for that. Like,
So,
you don't even realize, like,
I mean, you hear that, but like when I my coach and mentor like broke it down, I was like, oh shit, like I'm liable for a lot of stuff and like no, not gonna happen. So with that, like I did open my salon. I did want to foster like a flexible schedule, like come and go as you want, like, and I feel like so we do have that structure in my salon. I don't make them come in from 9 till 9 or whatever. If they have a client on their book at 12, they'll come in at 12. But I also like, it's kind of like a give and take. Like, I feel like I'm a super forgiving and like easy boss, but like at the same time, like treat me good, work hard, and then like I will give you flexibility and freedom. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And like, so the W9 and the W2 thing, like I know like so many salons have done that in the past, and it's like sometimes, and this message is not for the IRS, but sometimes it is a benefit to the stylist to have that freedom of flexibility. They do whatever they want, you know, and the owner doesn't pay your payroll taxes, but you get the freedom and flexibility and all of the write-offs and like all of that. So for some people, it does work. But what ends up happening is that salon owners will be like, you got to show up at this day, this time, you got to be cleaning, you got to do this. And they're treating them like an employee, but they're not paying their payroll taxes. So that's where employee classification comes into play. And you want to make sure you're classifying your employees correctly. For like people who want to be a salon owner who might not know this, if someone is an employee, you have to file them as a W-2 employee and pay their payroll taxes. And that's usually where you, the owner, get control over the atmosphere, the vibe, the systems, the structure, the schedules, the culture, all of that stuff. So for some people, like the freedom and flexibility is worth that, right? So as long as you're being treated correctly, right? But the other thing that I wanted to ask you in regards to your business model, you said if they don't have a guest, they come in at 12. Are you paying them hourly or commission, whatever is greater, or are they on straight commission?
They're on straight commission. Yeah.
So the freedom and flexibility is much easier that way.
Yeah. And like, you know, I try to put myself in their shoes. It's so funny because you try to put yourself in their shoes when you were a stylist, but now it's like, you're seeing the other side of it and you're seeing the numbers and you're seeing all these other things and you're like, damn. And the one thing I realized is like, numbers will tell you what emotions won't. And so, you know, it's hard because I try to like, it's like a balance, like beam. You're just kind of like, you know, but I have a great group of girls and they respect me. And, but yeah, I'm fine with the flexibility. And it's so hard now with the people that are coming into this industry and the younger generation. They're very big on balance and time and spending time with whoever they want. So I don't know. I feel like you can't, that old school structure of like, you're going to be here at 8 o'clock till 8 at night. Really doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, it's hard to maintain and retain your staff if there's no flexibility. Like if I had an employee, because I had an employee based salon for 5 years and I closed because I was doing education full time and I just didn't want to do it anymore. And if I were to open an employment based salon today, if I had a stylist who was 80% booked, 90% booked, I would be like, here's 40 hours, put them wherever you want. I would give them whatever flexibility if they earn that. Like if they show they could book the hours, I don't care when you work, right? Yeah. Book the hours.
Yeah,
but then again, for like the younger people who are working for the company, it's like you have to look at like, what does the company need? Like we need a morning shift and a night shift. We were just talking about this on the last episode with Nathaniel. He's like, I will give them morning or night. They can pick, but the salon is open during those times. We need coverage during those times. Hey. And I think people want like freedom and flexibility, but like until you're a salon owner, like you don't understand, like the business needs to sell these hours so that there is a business for everybody to come to. So like, I love freedom and flexibility, but with some boundaries, because otherwise it's like, It could get scary. Something that I did in my salon, and I wish I never did it because it ended up biting me in the ass a lot, but we were closed on the weekends.
Wow.
We were open Monday through Friday. And I had been wanting to create this work-life balance type of gig. And I did it before my staff was booked enough. So they hadn't earned it. It was like a perk given. And if they had earned that and we were open on the weekends, maybe like with newer people or whatever, and my seasoned people earned that schedule, it would have worked better than handing a perk like that. So I think a lot of stuff needs to be earned, so it's appreciated more too.
Oh yeah, I agree with you. So another piece of advice, if anyone's listening that is wanting to open a salon, I highly encourage you get a mentor or a coach or like a company that specifically helps salon owners like build your systems, build those structures first before just opening it and winging it and then wanting to burn the place down like I
It's really hard to change stuff. It's
Oh,
really hard to take stuff away.
yes. We're like implementing new things in my salon, because we've had so many like changes and we've only been open 2 years and now we're looking at the numbers and it's like, okay, we have to make changes. Like, and I really want my salon to be like a career for people that really want a career in this industry. And I want like a career path for them. And you have to have structure and you have to have systems in place to do that. You can't just be like, okay, come in Sally Sue at 4, like, because people like motivation is great, but like you have to have structure and systems in place to really help people grow and hold them accountable.
And you want to make sure that those structures and system fit your vision, like it's
Yes.
your salon. I was just talking to my staff because I own a yoga studio and like I don't even go there because there's no classes during the day. I don't leave my house after 5 and there's not enough gentle classes. Like everything is so fitnessy. And I said to my manager, I was just like, I don't even come here because I want to like come to yoga for spiritual. Like,
Oh, yeah.
that's why I love yoga, spirituality, not to sweat my fucking ass off and get my ass kicked at 9 o'clock on a Sunday. Like, I'm trying to meditate.
Day. Yeah.
Like, and I was trying to convince them, like, other people want this. Like, and they're like, well, afternoon classes aren't going to do well. I'm like, we've never had one. Like, and it's my studio. It's my studio. So I was talking to my friend about it. I was talking to my friend about it, and she owned a yoga studio and she shut it down after like 10 years in business. They shut it down. They're like, we don't want to do it anymore. And I was like, am I the only one whose practice was completely ruined by opening a yoga studio? And they're like, no, you're not alone. This always happens. It's the worst thing for someone to own a yoga studio because it ruined your practice. And I was like, well, how do I make it like what I want? And she's like, you have to just make tiny steps going in the direction that you want to go. And I was like, that's so true. It is so hard to change. So if you don't have your vision like locked and loaded and you just go with it, it slowly becomes the vision of everybody else, the students, the staff, the teachers,
Yes.
all these people. And this is just
Yes.
talking about my yoga studio, but this could be like your salon, your clients, your managers, your assistant.
Yeah, that was happening to me in my salon. Like people were telling me like, okay, I need a price increase. And I was like, okay, yeah, sure. And I look back and I'm like, what the fuck was I like, why, what?
You
Like,
didn't have a plan yet.
whoa, I had no plan. So we're doing that right now, actually. We're implementing small little things, and it is true. You can't just like flip the house upside down. Like you have to go slow and steady because first off, it's really scary when you implement a new system, not only for me because I have to learn it, but for my staff. No one likes change. So we implement really slow, and then hopefully within the next year we'll be like, okay, we have a good foundation. They know where they're going. I know where we're going. And then, so I love that you brought that up because that's so
Yeah,
true.
it's so true. And it's like your vision as the owner. So it's like you built this place, you have a vision for how you want it to be. And it's really important that everybody knows your vision and they understand why you're doing the little things to get you toward that direction. It's so critical. So
Oh,
critical.
yeah.
I was gonna say something. I forget what I was gonna say. I could talk about like the vision and all of that stuff like all day long, but I want to ask a question that I've been asking all the salon owners, and I usually ask it first, but we just jumped in and
Hey, that's all
I
right.
could just talk to you for
I
an hour.
like changing
But the question I've been asking, and you mentioned it multiple times about a business coach and a mentor. But I've been asking all the salon owners just to like, just for fun, do you have any like structured traditional business training? Like, did you go to college? Like any of that? I'm gonna share a pro tip with y'all. you need to check out marlobeauty.com for your beauty supplies. They have everything you could possibly need for your hair, nail, or spa business. They ship right to your salon, and trust me when I say that you're not going to find prices this low anywhere else. If you're a licensed professional, you can make a free account and start shopping in about 5 minutes. Marlo Beauty Supply will never ever sell to your clients. They're pro only and totally dedicated to helping you build your business. Head to marlobeauty.com today and start saving. Pros in the know, go to Marlo.
So I did go to college right out of high school, which was like 2008. And I was going to nursing school. So I did like 3 years, but then I dropped out. So however you want to take that. But no, I think it's so different than like, I don't know. I think running a business is so different from like any kind of college. I feel like this is the best experience. And like, I've gained more knowledge than like, you know, nursing school ever would have given me. So yeah, no, I hired like a business coach and all of that to help me through all this. So yeah.
Love that. Yeah. Everyone has such different answers. It's so interesting to see the background. So interesting. So you started with nursing school, wasn't for you.
Yep. You know, that whole story, I'm sure you've heard 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Or the people like 4 years in or 2 years in even who are just like, fuck this, I'm going back to school for nursing.
Yep.
So relatable. I love it. Okay, cool. So questions about like hiring and finding good staff. What is your like ideal employee? Like when someone comes in and interviews or reaches out to you, like what are you like really looking for when it comes to an employee in your salon?
Wow, that's like a $1 million question. I feel like through hiring and firing and being open for 2 years, which really is nothing compared to a lot of salon owners that have been open 10, 20 years or whatever. I'd love to hear what they would have to say, but
you will.
I'm so excited. So how our interview, I guess I'll take you through our interview process. So first and foremost, I have a vision statement that I wrote for my ideal salon or stylist. I have one for my front desk, my stylists, my manager, if I have one day, and it's exactly like who I want them to be, what they look like, what they talk like, what their values are, all those things. So that really helps me kind of have a direction and I guess a vision on what I want that person to look like. And then we bring them in for an interview. So if they do reach out to me on Instagram, of course I'm going to do some stalking. Like who wouldn't do that? You know, like, okay, that's... girl, you know, like gotta put my detective hat on. And then just kind of looking at their work, all of that. But I really feel like social media is something that you should really not go off of. And just from my experience hiring people, like I feel like people show up differently through their social media versus like in person, on the floor, at work or whatever. And sometimes they can interview really great. And then you hire them and you're like, whoa, that was not the same person that interviewed with me. So I just feel like going through that process, it just takes time. And sometimes you don't know people and it takes a month or 2 months or a year to really find out who they are. But I do believe in the hire slow, fire fast. I have no problem firing people. I think I'm sometimes I just, yeah, I have no problem with that. So yeah. I know a lot of salon owners sometimes get nervous or they're like, you know, they look at people as like, you know, revenue. And I understand that. But my biggest thing is like, we have like core values in our salon. And if you're breaking any of those, like you got to go. And the same thing with like, I'm sure you'll talk about this, but the culture in the salon, if there is a bad apple, like they got to go. So
they ruin everything for everybody.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And that's like so hard. Like, I think the hardest thing about being a salon owner is for me too, is having those conversations. And then, like, people cry, people get upset, and it's like, man, this sucks, but it's just part of it.
Yeah, it sucks. I hate firing people. But I agree with the hire slow, fire fast, because the longer you let it go on, and then the worst thing you could do is let them quit on their own. It's like you waste an opportunity to show the rest of your company like
Yes.
what's acceptable and what's not. Like I've
That's
done that
not.
so many times. I've been such a baby back bitch about it. And I literally would just let someone quit on their own. I'd be like, oh, I don't want to deal with it. And then
Damn.
eventually they like quit. Two people follow them wherever they go.
Yeah,
It's
you
like,
gotta
ugh.
like, and I'm learning that too. Like, it takes like time to build that, whatever, I guess, leadership. So yeah, hire fast. No, hire slow, fire fast. And if you have any bad apples, get rid of them, because it's only going to make things so much worse.
Love that. All right. So I'm going to go back to my question. What are you looking for?
Oh, I didn't answer your question.
No, it's okay. I really like want to get like from each salon owner, like what are like key things that like stick out? Like if someone does this, you're like, okay, like they like pass your like almost like your own mini test.
I don't know if I have like a specific thing that I don't know. I'm like big on, I don't know, I feel like I'm really intuitive. And I'm really good at reading people. And sometimes I'm not, though. That's when I'm like, wow, I'm not intuitive. But how they carry themselves, how they answer interview questions, how they, we do an interview process, and then they come to the salon and they shadow, and like how their body language is, how they interact with my team. Are their hands crossed? Are they open? Are they asking questions, or are they like, giving you this like the stink eye, like, that kind of thing? But I don't feel like
You're
it's like
checking the
one,
vibe.
checking the vibe. Yeah, I don't feel like it's like one thing, like, oh my God, she's so pretty, or like, oh my gosh, she has a really nice car, or like, oh my gosh, she has a full clientele. Because I feel like none of those things matter to me. It's like, who are you as a person deep down? Like, do you have a good heart? And if you don't, like, I don't fucking want you here.
Not a single lie was told. I love it. Okay, so an opposite question is, do you have any pet peeves?
Oh my God.
I
Why is this
feel
one?
like you do.
Why is this one so much easier to answer? I
You know, and people always bond over what they hate more, like
know.
instead of
Oh
what
my
they
God.
like. I bet we have similar pet peeves. What are your pet
Okay,
peeves?
so pet peeves like interviewing, or like new hires, or like style?
Staff, overall staff.
Okay.
Like one of my pet peeves is when people say no problem. I'm like, why would it be a problem? I hate that. And I
I'm
hate
gonna
when
start
someone's
saying
like,
that.
I hate when someone's 2 minutes late all the time.
Oh,
Like,
that's
I'd rather you be
okay.
45 minutes late for a reason than to be 2 minutes late every day or something.
Yes, I have so many pet peeves. I feel like, okay, so my, oh gosh, I don't know. Like, I feel like going back to like being a good person, like having integrity, like don't lie to me. I feel like in the South, everyone says yes, ma'am, and I'm like, ugh. Don't say yes, ma'am. It's like, I know I'm old, but like, it's fine. Sitting in the break room is like my biggest one. Like, be
It's such an
proactive.
ick.
It's such an ick. Like, and I feel like it's such a, we talk about this all the time with the girls and like who've been in the industry. Like, back in the day, like there was no sitting. Like, there's just no sitting. It wasn't allowed. Like, you literally were like told, like, get up, or like you're gonna die. So like sitting in the break room, being proactive, like, do I have to really tell you to go do something? Can you just like go do it? Messiness, like not cleaning up after yourself.
I have all of these same icks. And you know what else? I can't stand somebody who's working for me on their phone.
No, I
I
hate
get
that.
furious. Like, if I walk in and I see you sitting at the front, if phone at the front desk, I will say something.
That's a good
I
one.
will say something. If
Yeah.
I walk in to an office and the person is on the phone on the front desk and they're
Not even
looking at their
out.
phone before they look at me, or
Yes.
if I see the phone, I automatically am turned off by the entire company. Like,
No, I get, yeah, that's like one of my icks.
it's so unprofessional.
I hate that. Running behind is like a big one, being on time. If something, like if you did something wrong, or like my thing is just like, just tell me, like communicate. Like that's all, like it's really not that hard. Gosh. Oh my God.
Wait, I can't tell. Are you approachable? Are they scared to communicate with you?
Oh my gosh, I'm so approachable. I am like a such a pushover, but I don't know. Maybe I'm not.
It cracks me up.
I'm not scary, I swear.
Both of us are like, we have so many icks. It's like, wait, I wonder if people are scared of me
We could talk about this honestly for days.
for a whole episode. All right, all right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, quick question, yes or no, is your salon gratuity free?
No.
Okay, there's people talking about this. I'm asking all the salon owners. So far, zero people are gratuity free. Just checking, taking a temperature.
Yeah, wow. Maybe one day.
I would never. Like,
Yeah.
I would
One
just
of
never.
my, like, I don't know. Like, we do a lot of extensions, and one of my stylists just got a $700 tip. It was
I would not work in a salon that didn't allow gratuity.
like, I feel like that's, if you don't want to tip, whatever. Like, we're not, you know, but like, if you want to, like, I'm not gonna like say no to that, you know?
Some salons and some stylists like market themselves as gratuity free. And then there's some very controversial things about gratuity that I won't even bring up on here. But like, I've always accepted gratuity and I'm always like, gratuities are appreciated, but never ex expected. Like, I'm not going to be
Same.
offended if I don't get
Yeah.
a tip, but
No,
like, I
sometimes
would never turn off that revenue stream.
right. No, me either. Absolutely no.
Okay, another question, and we're winding down. These are my last two questions. What advice would you give to a stylist who wants to open a salon? You already kind of answered it with like finding a coach, getting your systems in place before you open so you don't have to change stuff later. But any other advice you want to add for someone listening who maybe it's their dream to open a salon or maybe they're currently in the process?
Yes, I have so many things to say to that. And I know I touched on that earlier, but the first and foremost, I feel like really asking yourself why, really getting the why clear and not being just like, you know, I want a new house or I want more money. Like you really have to be really clear on what exactly you want because this job is so fucking hard. And you really have to be able, I guess this is the second number two, is you really have to be able to put your team first and you have to be second. Your career has to kind of be off to the side, especially in those like beginning years, growing your team, growing your business. And then the third,
Why
hire
does
a
that
coach.
sound like fa why does that sound like parenting?
Because it
You just sounded like you were describing like how to have a baby.
is. Girl, it's like it's
Your
I don't know.
career is on hold.
Yeah. I really feel like I like have put my team first, which isn't probably the right thing either, which also like why you should hire a mentor and a coach and have all these systems in place, like know what you're getting yourself into, figuring out like even like going into a building and figuring out your rent, like what you have to bring in a month to just support that, like can be eye-opening because people don't know what they don't know. And they look at salon owners and they're like, oh, this is so pretty. This is so glamorous. Like it, but it really isn't. So hope that helps.
Love it. Okay, one more question for you. And the question is for all of the salon owners listening, like I've been asking this to everyone on this series, what do you feel like salon owners today like need to get through their head? Like in this day and age to be a salon owner, what's something they just have to know or realize?
I think that they need to figure out, I think stylists today, they want to grow, and they need help on knowing how to grow. They need to know where they're going. And I hear about this all the time, and I listen to people all the time, like, oh, my stylists aren't selling retail, or they want a price increase. Well, I'm like, well, do you have systems in place to help them achieve those goals? So kind of getting out of your own way and really like figuring out a way to help them reach their goals. And you know, at the end of the day, everyone wants more money. So figure out how you can grow your team that way, offer them benefits, and just get out of your old habits and your old ways, because I feel like being stuck, like, keep, if you're doing what you're doing, you're going to be doing the same thing 5, 10 years from now. So invest in a mentor or somebody or whatever to help you kind of think outside the box and grow your company and your staff.
Thank you so much, Jamie, for your time. I'm so
Yeah.
grateful and appreciative for you doing this. So before we go, please let them know where they could follow along, your salon and your personal Instagram or wherever you want them to be able to follow you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I can't wait to hear all of your podcasts coming out. And you can follow me on Instagram at Colors by Jamie, and my salon page is Pure Metal Hair. And yeah.
Awesome. All right, everybody. Another episode on the books. What an amazing time. Thank you again, Jamie, for all of your time and wisdom. And we will see you all on the next episode.
Yay. Thanks, girl.
Thank you so much for listening to Salon Ownership Unfiltered. This series has been so fun to record. I've learned so much from all of the amazing guests, and I'm so grateful that I'm able to provide this amazing free resource to all of you. It wouldn't be possible without all of my sponsors, my mastermind group, and Educate with Influence, because those amazing people and businesses support this free education. So please check out all the sponsors. Visit ginabianca.com/podcast to get all of the information and more resources attached to this episode. I would also love to encourage you to leave a rating and review if you're loving the podcast. All right, that's it. I'll talk to you guys soon and hope you have a wonderful day, and I'll see you on the next one.